Thank you for joining us. My name is Enrique Mendizábal. I am the director of On Think Tanks. And in this new episode of OT's Makeshift podcast, I talk to Annapurna Ravichander. Annapurna is a long-term OTT associate and also executive director of the Public Affairs Foundation in India. Now, they've been involved in a very interesting project lately. It involves supporting the strengthening of a very large public training institute in the state of Karnataka in India. The reason why this is interesting is that it has the potential of achieving impact at a grand scale. Think tanks often struggle to support the policymakers they work with in coming up with good policies and implementing them successfully. And one of the things policymakers often say is a key barrier is that they and the teams lack capacity. So by supporting the institutions that strengthen that capacity, the Public Affairs Foundation and the Public Affairs Center in India may be finding a long-lasting solution. So Annapurna is going to tell us about what they're doing and what they hope to achieve. I hope you enjoy the conversation. Great. Okay, so we'll start.
Yeah.
Thank you for joining me, Annapurna. It's always a pleasure to talk to you. And thank you for joining me this late as well in your day. So why don't we start with a brief introduction, and I will let you tell us a little bit more about yourself and your work in the world of think tanks.
Thanks, Enrique, for having me over. It doesn't matter if it's late, but I enjoy speaking to you as always. So briefly, I'm Annapurna Ravichander, as you said, and currently I hold two portfolios. One is I head the policy engagement and communication team at the Public Affairs Center. It's a think tank based in Bengaluru, India. I also am the executive director of Public Affairs Foundation, sister organization of Public Affairs Center. Professionally as education, I have a PhD in history. I'm very passionate about training and communication. In my free time, of course, I love to travel and meet people, but now it's restricted due to the pandemic. Apart from this, I like to write blog articles and I love animals. Most important, thanks to you, Enrique, I'm also an associate with OTT. That's the brief about me.
Thank you, Annapurna. And I mean, we should say that, you know, we met a long time ago when you were in another think tank in Bangalore,
right.
Also working in developing the communications capacity and communications team. So you've been involved in the world in think tanks for some time, and also in developing capacity of think tanks, right? Developing the competencies of organizations and individuals.
Right.
And you are now involved in a very interesting project in your state in India.
Right.
And the reason why I say it's interesting is because often when we talk to think tanks, you know, they struggle to think about scale of their impact, right? They struggle to think about how far reaching will be the consequences of their work. And often one of the limits to their work is that governments that are charged with implementing many of their ideas do not necessarily have the capacity to run wild with those ideas, right? To take them forward.
Yeah.
But you are now working with an organization whose mission basically is to build that capacity, right? The civil servants, technocrats capacity, the Administrative Training Institute, ATI, in Mysore. Can you tell us a little bit about what this ATI, you know, organization is?
Right.
What are you doing with them and what are you trying to achieve? But let's focus on what is ATI?
Yeah. Enrique, if you don't mind, can I tell briefly about PAC and PAF?
Oh, sure. Okay.
That will set the context for our the next question, the question that you've asked. So very briefly, Public Affairs Center is over 27 years old. Its journey in this few years have allowed us to focus on the sustainable development goals in the context of India and human development. It is also a pioneer in deploying innovative social accountability tools to measure the quality and adequacy of public services. In a way, this is something that we're going to use very largely with our work, in our work with ATI. We also have a Center for Open Data Research, which is the analytical arm of PAC. So the combination of using data effectively with actionable research has ensured that PAC's research has been well received by the state government. In fact, to further add to this, PAC has signed a 5-year MOU with the government of Karnataka to ensure that all the departments reach the sustainable development goals. We've taken 7 of the SDGs and we are developing, conducting research using open data from the government and providing feedback on how they could possibly reach these goals, because they are also pressurized by the bigger bosses. Of course, we also ensure that gender is an overarching aspect in all our research. It's not a separate thing or not a thing. Well, Public Affairs Center was established about 17 years back as a not-for-profit company, primarily to handle 3 key mandates. One is conduct training and capacity building. 2 is to develop communication materials and engage with stakeholders. And 3 is to develop partnerships and networking. And all this feeds into the research organization that is PAC. And I think seeing this holistic approach and we working with a lot of programs, the government of Karnataka, the ATI approached us around 2 years back. Now I can go back to your question, and that's why I wanted to set this context. Over 2 years back, the then Director General met our director and said he wants to overhaul the entire ATI. So my director had a meeting and they said, okay, we created something. So the Administrative Training Institute or ATI is based in Mysuru, which is the apex training institute for the government of Karnataka. They train civil service and government offices in the state. So there are different training institutes across India, whereas this one focuses on people from Karnataka who are Indian administrative officers, or they are Karnataka administrative service officers. So they also have people coming from other states. It is amongst one of the oldest training centers, and I think around 25 years old. And they have a fantastic campus. They have a huge, they have a very good hostel facilities. They have over 136 well-equipped training rooms with the latest state-of-the-art equipment. But I think, unfortunately, due to lack of coordination, processes, protocols, they have not been able to leverage and use this facility very well. That's when the Director General said, so what we did was, to ensure that something happens, we again signed a partnership with ATI to primarily reform the training and capacity building of the civil service and to strengthen governance and help achieve sustainable development in the state. Now, what does this partnership mean? It will provide a basis for a reform intervention roadmap to transform the ATI into a premier training institution, and also enable, they have 5 centers and 7 verticals. When we had a meeting with the staff over there, a lot of the verticals and centers didn't look good being in silos. So we're trying to rework and see how we can club some of them together and be more focused. For example, they have something called as a Common Foundation course. This Common Foundation course is around 2 months, where all the wannabe officers who are entering the administrative services are trained over here. But what we found was a lot of this training was not useful in the real world. What I mean by this is, basically, they need to understand what are the needs of the government on the one hand. On the other hand, they need to understand what is it that the community can offer to ensure that this policy making or government wants. That connectivity is not there in their training. So we thought we should establish some processes where through research, through data, the entire thing covers a life cycle to ensure that the trainees are useful. So how did we do this?
Are you suggesting that this is something that the ATI will do themselves, or is that connecting role the role of think tanks like PAC?
Absolutely, it's connecting a role of think tanks like PAC, because this is a 3-year MOU that we've signed. And we know that if they could have done something in 25 years, they didn't need us. Obviously, they don't have the bandwidth or the vision to do it. That is why for the first 2 years, we are going to establish processes, protocols, rebuild even something like a JD, job description, get interviews into place. So what we've done is we're going to address human resource development. We're going to address training and capacity building. We're going to address research. And last but not the least, data analytics. We're going to see how these four can be merged into making it the state-of-the-art institute. So like I was saying, we're trying to combine this. They have about 146 or 130 or 46 common foundation course. And what we are trying to do is we're trying to bring it down to 3 per year so that it's focused, it is more meaningful and more useful. So one example I would like to give here is when they are conducting these courses, it's not what an individual in the center wants. It's what the government wants. So the reaction, the communication with the government is going to be more. So we are setting some sort of protocols, how to roll in information from the government so that they fulfill the need by designing the training programs to meet those needs. Yep. What is happening today is there's a person like me who sits in a department, and there's a person like you to whom I'm reporting. When a program is announced, you just send me for the program. You're probably sending me for the same program every 2 months because I may not be useful in office and you say you go and sit over there. That is not good for you, for me, or for the trainers.
Or for
so
the country.
We're creating something like, for example, NDK, end of October, we are conducting an entrance exams for the faculty, because they're all on contract. So we're trying to make a permanence. So today I sat and we developed the 3 rounds of how the interview will be. So that's the first activity we are taking, because we want to implement most of the activities by the 1st of December. To do that, we need to have a good faculty. We cannot work with the current faculty because they already have the old thoughts. We want new people to come in and enhance some of the existing. So we developed a template on what the first round, first of all, the JD, they had already floated. Now we are building roles and responsibilities for each of these posts, faculty, research associate, even admin, training coordinator. What is it that they have to do? How will they do it? When will they do it? Mm-hmm. Processes we are building. Then based on that, we will ensure that it will be tracked using data. For example, something as simple as a timesheet. Based on an activity. Suppose I am a faculty, I should be able to tell if you ask me, what are your plans for the next 6 months? I should be able to tell you, indicate this is what I have planned and this is how I'm planning to do it. And then probably my manager will track it to see that I complete the deliverables, I do quality work and I do focus work. In the end, not just me, the institute also benefits from this. As a result, the government benefits. Yeah. So we are going for a test over there. We're going to conduct interviews. We are preparing everything. So we're going to give them something as a unique ID. So if I have enrolled for one test or interview or a training, next time if they see my entrance, I have to give that. If I'm not qualified, I will not be taken in.
I mean, Annapurna, these seem like very obvious things that a training institution should have, right? So it seems to me that you're basically helping them to catch up to where they should be. But you know, when I'm taking with me from this brief conversation, of course, I'd like to hear more about how it goes in the future. is that the potential, right? The vision, in a way, is an institution that exists around the world. In my own country, in Peru, there is a National School for Public Administration, state-led, it was government-led, publicly funded. And it basically provides training for all civil servants that want to, you know, receive that training.
Right.
So the potential is huge, because you can create courses that are addressing actual capacity needs in government, but also incorporate the latest research that think tanks, not just yours, but others are producing.
Yeah.
And it can reach everyone. Like, it can reach hundreds of that, in the case of India, probably hundreds of thousands, or if not millions of people. And therefore achieve this sort of, this thing that think tanks often struggle with, right? To achieve impact at scale, right?
Yeah.
Make sure that their ideas, their research, the evidence they produce inform not just a few policymakers, but actually many policymakers.
Yeah.
So many that there might be kind of an inflection point, right? A critical mass of actors pushing in the right direction, or in the same direction at the very, at the very least. But let me ask you one final question.
Yeah.
I mean, this must be something you have discussed, but you talked about PAC doing research, building capacity, but still, this is not the typical think tank project, right?
Yeah.
Typically, think tanks would do research and maybe based on that research build capacity. But what you're doing is much more of a management consultant type of intervention, right? You know, is this a concern? Have you had to make any changes? How are you tackling this? Or maybe this is just something that PAC is used to doing, and this is part of your, you know, existing portfolio.
So, for example, Enrique, if you're talking about research, the sort of research that's happening is, again, at a personal level. Now, when we talk about research, we're also going to introduce something called as research quality. So how do we do that? We're trying to enhance the capacity by building an in-house research, as an example, I'm saying, quality committee that will ensure that the research is worthwhile, not personally, but for the institute. Use the research for developing training material. Vice versa, conduct training and build capacity of, let's say we have what we call as the grassroots level, Gram Panchayat. They are the political leaders at the community level. Sometimes when a policy has been disseminated or implemented by the state government, when it actually reaches the community, there is a huge gap. So we're trying to build, that's because there's no capacity. A simple thing, we had floods about 2 years back, okay? The government just sent out a thing, Department of Agriculture, Department of Veterinary Sciences, Department of X have to see that next time you have to be ready for disaster management. Now, how did these people take it, the three department, the officers? They didn't know what they had to do. They didn't know who had to do what. They didn't even coordinate with each other. So everybody worked on silos. Now we are trying to see how we can bring them together to be more effective. And that is why, as you rightly said, we are starting right from the scratch, so that the new recruits who will be on board from November 1st will start with that new ideas. Understand the vision, understand the mission, not yours, but theirs, and do it. For example, you're absolutely right. We don't want training, just we're going to help them develop pedagogy. We're going to introduce other trainers and SMEs to be part of this, not just them. Build their capacity, but bring in, like personally, I had an idea, somebody from OTT should be coming in as a guest lecturer across, because they need to look at the global aspects also, which currently don't have exposure to. It cannot be Karnataka centric. It should be, but it doesn't have to be only. So they need to remove their blinders and look. So that is what over the 2 years, in the end of second year, we hope to bring in the global look. And again, think tanks. you know, look at think tank, look at our own experience. How can we bring in, let's say, like, for example, a monitoring and evaluation program from think tank? How can we train them to monitor and evaluate their own projects at the community level and develop and strengthen the community people to use it from end users? So it's not just developing, it's also, what shall I say, the big picture we want. None of them can see the big picture. None of them. And two reasons could be because they're all on a contract. So there's no permanency as of now. So when you're on a contract, you only look at the last day in the end of the year, and then you don't really work well. So we're trying to even change that. And that is why, and we looked at the training material. So, you know, something as simple as a handbook that they give, it's not so clear. It's got to be in the regional language also, because Kannada has to be, it's got to be in English and in Kannada. We are trying to animate some of it, because at the community level, not everyone is educated.
Yeah.
They'll have to see it in a different way, the training material. Let's say if you're building the capacity of women in the self-help groups, which is in the community, they can't read or write. But the only way they'll understand is pictorially. Can we do it through a video? Can we do it through, let's say, on hygiene we want to teach them? If I'm going to go and talk big lecture, the WHO has brought this out and this is very important, they'll probably hear and leave it. But if I put it in a pictorial and make it, contextualize it, how it's going to help them, that is going to be a little more impactful.
Exactly.
And that is the things we want to bring.
And also because you are outside of academia, I guess you are freer to try different ways of engaging with your quote unquote students, you know, which might be harder at a university. Although I think the last couple of years have opened the eyes of many learning institutions for sure. But anyway, thank you. I don't want to take more time on this because I will be, you know, keen to learn more about how this project progresses and Apurna. I think it's a huge, I mean, you're describing it. It's a huge challenge. A lot of things to do. Yeah. But again, what I said before, I think what is interesting about the project is that if you do contribute to build or to strengthen this institution in the state of Karnataka, you will have is a vehicle, right? A mechanism through which many think tanks and research organizations and civil society organizations in general can have impact based on evidence at an optimal scale. That will lead to improvements in the policy making, in the outcomes, in the quality of policies, and the outcomes of policies, and how these are implemented. So I wish you a lot of luck, and of course, you know, you can ask for any help you need, and we'll be more than happy to do that. But yeah, and it's do keep us updated. So
I will do that. I will. Yeah. Thank you so much for this entertainment. Thoroughly enjoyed speaking to you as usual. Thank you.
Thank you, Anupurna.
Bye. Bye.
And that was it. Thank you very much for joining us, and I hope you enjoyed the episode and that you will come back and listen to future episodes of OTT's Makeshift Podcast. Goodbye.